This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
All right. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Let's get right back into it. Turn with me your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And one thing I like about these double sessions is I don't have to do any review. I'm just flow, you see. Amen. So if you're serious about studying the Word of God, you like this. I love this. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So here we see God is saying that the choice is up to you. You can hear what God's word says, choose to govern your life your own way, or you can hear God, what God's word says, obey what God's word says, and it has a long-lasting impact. So he says, if you choose life, it's not going to affect you. In other words, choose God's way. It will not only impact your life, but the lives of your children and generations to come. Now, we're talking about, you know, new millennium parenting, and we have to face it that our children face some things that we never had to face. Amen? That is why we need the grace of God to help us, because they have a different set of factors that they have to live with than you and I never had to contend with. Some of these factors is the changing structure of families. You understand? And you know, it used to be a family was a married couple was a husband and a wife, a male and a female. Now they're being introduced to alternate lifestyles that are acceptable in society. Men, you never had to even deal with that kind of foolishness. We always were told that was off. Now in some schools they teach that as an acceptable lifestyle. Now, whereas you and I didn't even have to consider it. Follow me? It is something that they have to now deal with in their thinking. Secondly, there is the visible gross mismanagement that they see of anger and stress. Now, what I mean by that is, remember I told you, we all learn by our environment, by experiences, you know, by what we see credible other people around us do, and by instruction. And so, children are impacted by how they see people handle stress. And when they watch people handle stress by going off, getting guns, shooting folk, that becomes a factor now in their thinking. With the violence that they see, when people can't get their way, they get violent. Follow me? I mean, now they have to deal with that thought. That can become a stronghold in their thinking. And, you know, I don't want to date myself, but I can remember when we got television. I can remember when we got to when my grandmother had the first television in the neighborhood. See? Now don't y'all try to play me. See, y'all try to play me like, oh, you were around when... And some of y'all grew up without television, period. but now, just the introduction of that media, that bombardment of another lifestyle, totally against God, seeing things that you and I never saw, introducing that into our thinking, into their thinking, it has an impact. Because what I see around me impacts how I process information. You got it? And, you know, there's some, you know, some TV programs that are just terrible. You got it? You got to understand. Our children, I think I in my study, I saw they said that a teenager is, I can't get it right now. I have to get it to tomorrow. It's something about 15,000 hours of television. But I can't remember the period of time that they look at that. But you got to understand that. That has a significant impact. Now, I'm not telling you to throw away your television. But I'm saying that they have to contend with things you and I never had to contend with. They have to make moral choices at a very early age. much earlier than we had to make the moral choice. You got it? Because, you know, pictures of immorality are readily available to them. They don't have to have an internet. You don't have to have a computer. If you got a television, it's there. If you drive down the street, it's there. On the billboards, you understand? There's a sexual, voluptuous woman trying to sell a car. And you know that woman don't come with the car. You understand? So it's there. And it's all geared to inflame and stir the flesh. Our children have to deal with that where they did not. Amen. All right. Then there is the pressure that, you know, that they could die early. I mean, we grew up, death was really something foreign. That was for old folk. Think about it. Just think about how many times you thought about death growing up. I mean, it's some old folk, you know. They have grown up seeing young folk die. That plays heavily on them thinking, I ain't got much time. I got to do what I got to do. I'm serious. We got to understand what our children are faced with. Why it's so important that we accelerate incorporating into them a God consciousness so that their thinking can be balanced. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Then Satan has launched a very high-tech attack, assault, to get their minds. Amen. Devil don't mind spending money. Amen. Got it? He does not mind spending millions and millions of dollars to trap a generation. And the ideal thing of that is when you see how much money that they will spend in building a theme park gambling casino. Because they want you to bring your child. And then you can't even register in the hotel in most of them unless you walk past the little slot machines. First sound you hear when you walk in the door is ding, 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 ding. Why did they do that? Why? One hotel spent $1.4 billion to open a theme park gambling joint. Because they want you to come, but they want you to bring your child. Because it's their aim to expose your child to gambling. Amen. 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 So we talk about $50,000 budget for our children's children in Canada. That's chump change to them. But we got to understand that there is a high-tech assault that the devil has, and the church cannot sit idly by. You got it? We have to develop what I call the Goliath sword ministry. Goliath sword ministry is, see, David, he cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. You got it? He just took the rock and knocked him down. But to kill him, he took his own sword and cut his head off. I'm saying what the church has to do is we have to study the tactics of the devil and take his own tactics and use it to give our children Jesus. Amen. But it costs money. You got it? But we've got to be willing to do it. Otherwise, we are going to let God down. By not giving a righteous consciousness to the next generation. Amen? Now, so then, we got to make a choice. We'll set it before you this week, show you how to do it, show you how. Like I said, what I'm teaching you is about using the power of God to be a parent. You got it? I'm going to show you some accounts. We're going to talk about 10 things every parent needs to do for his child. Based on the 10 things that God did for Adam. We're going to talk about that. How to deal with a rebellious child. But right now, we're going to talk about how you can be prepared to be a godly parent. Preparations for being a godly parent. All right. Now, you will be influenced by one or several of six things in the earth when you make decisions. You'll be influenced by the dictates of your flesh, what you feel like. Number two, by the forces of darkness. And that is, the Bible says, you know, the devil has the ability to shoot fiery darts, thoughts in our mind. Number three, by the opinion of society. And that is, what's popular, what other people are doing. Don't get caught into what other folk are doing if it's not what God says do. Amen? All right. Number three, the perverted wisdom of satanic counsel. The Bible says, Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's some ungodly counsel out there. Counsel that's not based on the word of God. And if it doesn't match up with the word of God, it's ungodly. And when a person tells you that you should not discipline and chastise your child, when I have just read to you out of the scripture that discipline and the rod is a part of discipline, and a person tells you don't do that, it's ungodly counsel. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but I found it in the Bible. I'm going with, I'm going with God's word, all right? Amen. All right. Number five would be the dictates of the word of God. Your decision making can be influenced by what the word of God says, and your decisions can be influenced by the witness of the Spirit of God. The witness of the Spirit of God. And that's why I want to focus in on these last two. On knowing the Spirit of God and the power of God that resides in you to be a spiritual godly parent, and the Word of God that we have in our hands to find the principles and precepts so that we can apply them in our lives. We looked in the first session in Matthew 22:29. It says, you error not knowing the scriptures nor the what? Power of God. So if I'm going to be effective as a parent, I've got to make a choice to know the scripture, and I got to make a choice to know how to tap into the power of God, because His grace is sufficient to help me be a godly parent in any situation, in any generation. So I am not at all shaken by what our children have to face, because I know where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace much more abounds. So no matter what Satan will throw at our children in order to steal God's best from them, there is grace available for us to overcome it in every situation. That is the hope of the righteous. The hope of the righteous is we will never be outclassed by the devil. Where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace did much more abound. Amen. All right, now watch this. Turn with the Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. You must be in principle what you want your child to become. And that's the order of God. You got to be what you want your child to become. You can't be preaching God consciousness with your miller in your hand. You know, you can't preach don't smoke dope and you smoking tobacco. Boy, you better leave that crack alone. You're my Campbell's. You can't do that. It's a drug. Drugs is a drug. Amen? So I've got to first, if I want to be a godly parent and live out the responsibility God's laid on me, I must first be what I want them to become. And so there in Genesis chapter 1, look there in verse 26, says God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So Adam was a reflection of God. Your children, it's the will of God for you to live so that your children can be a reflection of you. So that whether you ever sit down and show them the Bible, they see the Bible in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Turn with the Bibles to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. When the object of my affection now is to obey God, then it frees me from the manipulating tactics that others may use to get me to compromise. Now, here's what I mean by that. That you need to have such a passion by hearing this word that you have a responsibility and you are accountable to God for raising a godly child, influencing a child with a God consciousness, you've got to have such a passion by that that nothing will cause you to compromise. That you owe it to God and you owe it to that child to give them a God consciousness. It may not be popular in the neighborhood. You got it? But it's what God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, in Hebrews chapter 13, look there in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. All right. Are you there? Check your neighbor. Make sure your neighbor has it. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of that conversation. So the Bible is saying here that, look, those who we rule over ought to be looking at us and our faith. Your children ought to be able to follow your example. That's it. You've got a purpose that if I'm going to be a godly parent, I got to get it together right now myself. You know, I used to smoke a pipe. You know, I thought it was real cool, you understand? I was smoking a pipe, you know, thought it was real cool. I remember when I finished high school, and that was one of my, you know, independent statements. You know, I went to prom, me and my buddy went to prom. We had our pipes, you understand? You know, we were smoking our pipes. It was cool, you understand? And so I took up, you know, smoking a pipe. You know, I liked all different kinds of, you know, aromatic tobacco and that kind of stuff. Just liked the smell of it. And so growing, you know, when I went after I married Bridget, you know, I had a nice little pipe collection. You know, thought I was, you know, somebody, you understand? And I was smoking a pipe one day. Which one of my children was it? Was it Irisha? And she came, sit beside me and said, can I do that? And I said, no. She said, well, why are you doing that? It sounded like that just kind of bust me out. And it hit me. You know, she's seeing this example. You got it? And I, from that day to this day, I gave my pipe set away, and I haven't smoked tobacco since. Simply because I understood the example that I was giving a wrong example. I was giving my child. Amen. Now that ought to make you think. Now when there's something you tell your child not to do and you're doing it, are you giving them the right example? Amen. Hallelujah! Pastor's preaching good. I know you're getting quiet. Yeah, I mean, yeah, think about that. Because that's how they're going to learn. Remember, one of the ways they learn is by watching and modeling others. So your life is giving them instructions. And so instead of making demands on them, do this, do that, do this. Boy, you better, instead of making demands, let your life command them. You got it? Let your life start speaking to them. Look, first thing I said, well, that means you got to get it together. Come on, that means you got to get it together. Yeah. Now, you don't want your girl out, you know. You know I have to mess with y'all sometimes. I didn't really want to come that way. But, you know, you don't want your girl being promiscuous, but she's seeing all these men coming in and out the house. Just around payday time, too. You understand? When the rent's due, you understand? You can't pay the rent till Raheem leave. And Raheem coming and he leave. Now we got rent money. Don't take a rocket science to figure out that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't want your child to lie, but you lie. The phone rings. Tell them I'm not home. What is that? A lie. We must be what we want them to become. Y'all stay with me. Y'all stay with me. I'm on satellite. Don't get too cold on me. I'm on satellite. You understand? All right, now. So, here's some things to do so that the testimony of Jesus can be seen in your life and passed on to others. Number one, you must become visibly intimate with God. Your children need to see an intimacy that you have with God. You cannot come here being ashamed to worship God and think they're going to worship God. Amen? You got to come, and that's why we have a family night on the our family service on every fifth Sunday, because we want our children to come into the main auditorium. We want them to visibly see mama and daddy worshiping God. You got it? I must not be ashamed of that intimacy with God. Got it? Man, you know, I remember my grandmother. Boy, my grandmother, I mean, she was like the spiritual anchor of our family. And she used to keep us, you know. And I remember, boy, she would get happy in the house by herself. Y'all know when we get happy? Y'all know what that term means? Get happy. She'd get in that number. She used to put on Mahalia Jackson. She loved to hear Mahalia Jackson. Y'all remember Mahalia Jackson? Come here. Some of y'all don't. Just give us our moment. Y'all young folk, give us our moment. So. This is our moment, amen. Some of them don't know what I'm talking about, Mahalia Jackson. That's right. This is our moment, all right. And boy, I'm telling you, the intimacy that I saw my grandmother had with God made an impact. I mean, she'd be sitting there, and boy, she just started crying and worshiping God and praising God. And she gets serious, she just holler and scream too, you understand? Us children, we be in there, she starts screaming, we just get real quiet. Don't bother grandmother now, you know, don't bother. But we understood that, I mean, that was an intimacy that she had with God. Our children have to see an intimacy that we have with God. Number two, our children have to see us become infused with the manifested power of God. They need to see the power of God operating. Amen. It's not enough just to teach a principle. They need to see some power every now and then. They need to see a move of God. Hallelujah. Number three, they need to see you be an inspired servant of the Lord. What I mean by inspired servant, not just dragging to your post of duty because, you know, I told them I was going to be an usher. Yeah, I'm just about tired of these folk. Come on now. No, they need to see you're excited about serving God. Amen. Glory to God. Don't shout me down. All right. Our righteous standard and righteous consciousness will be passed on to the next generation as we instruct them in the things of God. In other words, I got to take some time to instruct. And that is why we have in our church the ministry, children's ministry, teen ministry we have, because that time is valuable of being instructed in the things of God. Number five. All right. I must choose to influence others, to be an influence with my lifestyle. I got to choose to influence others with my lifestyle. In other words, I want to live my life so that I become the salt of the earth. I become the light of the world. That somebody looks and says, my children look and say, you know, I want to be like that guy. Amen. Got it? Because of a righteous stand and because what they see righteousness produce, then we need to have some godly folk, follow me, and children saying, that's who I want to be like. Amen. Amen. Now, I think all of you who are born again, saved in my age and above, there are some godly people that you can remember that had an impact on your life. Amen. Amen. Well, it's time for you to step up to the plate and be that godly influence for someone in the next generation. Got it? It's a shame, of course, right now because of the pressures of our society and because of how our society has conditioned our thinking, we don't want to take time with children. But how many of y'all went to Sunday school when you were growing up? All right? BYPU or the VTU, YPWW, whatever. All right. I mean, how many can remember those Sunday school teachers that you had who took the time to give you a godly foundation? Got it? Even though you may have played, you made fun of them sometime. Got it? I mean, we had one Sunday school teacher. He'd be teaching all by himself, you understand? Whether we said anything, I mean, he'd get to talking and he'd get to preaching. You know, we'd sit there and laugh, you know, follow. But we would listen to him. You got it? What he said somehow or another got across to us. You got it? You always hear me talk about Rachel Richards, the lady who got me born again. All because she took time. What I'm saying, believers, is the Bible says God's a reward of those who diligently seek Him. It's time for us to rise above, to grow up from just using faith to get our needs met. Many of you got your needs met. You know how to get your needs met. In fact, I mean, it's not the faith struggle it used to be for you. Well, it's now time to say, okay, now God, I need to use my faith so I may serve you more perfectly. You got it? That's what time it is. And I need to learn, I need to make a commitment to do that in bringing up this next generation. It's an assignment for this church to do so. Amen? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Amen. All right. Now, number 6, I need to insulate my children from evil influences. I cannot be embarrassed and I cannot be intimidated by my child from protecting them and insulating them from some evil influences. And that is, if they have computers, I need to know what they're looking at. Now, I personally don't believe you have privacy if you stay in my house. That's just me. That's just me. And you don't stay in my house, so you ain't got nothing to say. But I just don't believe if you stand in my house, you have no privacy. It's all mine. I got the right to check anything I want to check because I'm paying the bills. Now, that's just the way I run my house. You don't have to run your house that way. My children don't have no private areas. They're staying under my roof now. My children who have their own house, doing their own thing, got their own husband, their own wife, paying their own bills, that's their house. I even rarely go by to see them at their house. I don't go over their house. I don't. Have I ever been to your house? I don't think I've never been to their house. How long y'all been married? They've been married 2 years, and I think I can find where their house is. I think I can find it. But I'm not going. That's his house. He's the man in that house, you understand? And you know, they never invite me over for dinner, nothing like that. He's always eating in my house. So I had to bust them out, you understand? I don't want nobody to think we don't fellowship, understand, like that. They just all come to my house and eat up my food, you understand? All right, now, but here's my point now. I want you to get my point. The new teaching in the new age is that our children have private spaces. And they must have that private domain. No. All of it's mine because I'm paying for it. The dresser, I paid for it. So what's in the dresser, I also bought. I have a right to go and look in the dresser at will. Amen. I have a right to protect my child from evil influences. Amen. Got it? You don't just go and visit somebody. I got to know who they are. Amen. It ain't as safe as it once was. You got it? So, for me not to check out where my child is going is for me to abdicate my responsibility of protecting my child from some evil influence. And you got to be able to endure the pouting and the you not fair and you taking all the fun out of the life. All that ain't about nothing. I got to protect you. And I got to tell you, if you don't have good self-image, not strong emotionally and spiritually, you'll let your children's pouting cause you to compromise godly standards. You got to choose that I'm going to have a godly child. I'm going to fulfill my responsibility to raise a godly child. You got it? So, hey, if you want to go, I need to talk to the mama and I need to talk to the dad. And if they don't talk right, you still ain't going. Hallelujah. Let me move on. Number one. All right. Finally, number 7, I must ignore the pressure of the world to compromise on God's plan. You still whoop your... I'm saying that's the pressure of the world. Oh, that's archaic. That's archaic. You still whoop your child. That's archaic. No, that's God's way. Say what you want to. I know the word of God. I read it to you already, right? So it's not archaic. It's God's way. But what about time out? I'll give them time out after I whoop them. They take all the time out they want to take. Now, Now, I don't believe in whipping the children or chastising a child when you're angry. You should not do that. Now, I will give you, I don't know how my children now, my girl at home, she's what, 15 years old, and I can't remember the last time I even had to whip her. I just, you know, she's just a good kid, and I don't have to whip her that much, you know. I can't remember the last time I whipped her. She probably knows, though, because I have a system that I use when I whip them, see. Got it? I go give them a glass of water. This is work here, so. I'm not going to be angry. Just give me a glass of water. And I sit down and I have a talk. Because you need to know why we're getting ready to go through this. See? I don't just haul off and get it. Come here. You come here. I'm going to. No, we don't do it like that. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk so you understand the unacceptable behavior. Got it? Then after we understand unacceptable behavior, now you can understand the punishment that comes with that unacceptable behavior that I must minister to you. Got it? So we minister a little punishment, then we stop. Drink our water. And we go over again. Huh? What do you say? Huh? And then we talk some more. See, yes, she remembers. See? And then we... And all this unnecessary energy that I wouldn't have to expend, you know, whipping you. You see? Here I am sweating my heart, feet mad, you know, you hollering, moving, throwing everything. I don't want to go through this no more. So now let's figure out what you're going to do next time, because we don't need to face this again. You follow me? Then after you tell me what you're going to do next time, I drink me some water, and then we just go on and finish it off. You understand? Follow me? Now we finished. You follow me? Now you do, you love me. I love you. That's all right. Take my water, my gold, from wherever I'm going to go, and now you can have your timeout. All right. I know what y'all say. Well, yeah, they'll put you in jail now for whipping your child. Dr. Betty gave us some incredible wisdom a few years ago. I shall never forget it. She said, you know, if you whip your child and they bruise, keep them home. Till they heal. That's what she said. I ain't sad, you know. Just keep them home till they heal, you understand? And I'm quick to tell mine, yeah, I turn you in. Go turn me in, fine. I ain't going to even argue when they want to take you. They want to take you and put you in foster care and all that kind of stuff, and you got to stand in line to get your grits. You don't have your own private, this private. Okay, that's the kind of life you want. They ain't going to intimidate me. Okay. Now let's go. Let's go. All right. Five spiritual keys necessary. See, y'all mess with me. I don't think I'm going to finish now. Five spiritual keys necessary to manage the parenting state. Number one is a key of agreement. Everybody say agreement. Now, I don't have to talk much on this. Matthew 18, 19, if two of us shall agree, and touch anything. So husband and wives, you need to be in agreement. I always teach that before you get married, you need to talk about your views on raising a child. Because there's problems and all kind of trouble in the home if one person wants to raise the child one way and one wants to raise the child another way. You need to work those things out before marriage. If you did not, which most of you didn't because nobody told you, understand? Y'all just in love, you understand? You at least need to come to agreement and a written agreement on how you're going to handle parenting. How you're going to chastise a child, how that chastising is going to be ministered, so you all can stay in agreement. So you don't let the child play you against each other. Amen. Especially in a stepchild situation, when you know where's our child already in a marriage situation. If you're not careful, they'll play you against each other. If you two get in agreement, you can avoid that. And never, and it's always we and not he or her in chastising. We feel that this is what, you know, ought to be done. Not, well, your daddy say you can't go. Why do that? You got it? That's a sign that, A, you're not self, you don't have enough self-confidence to minister out the consequences yourself. You follow me? So therefore, you putting it off on somebody else. So you can walk out of the situation the good guy. I know you want to say amen. Amen. And fathers, quit saying, well, you need to ask your mama. Amen. Well, the only reason we do that is because we grew up with that. When we went, we always told, go to dad, then dad said, go ask your mama. So we just following the same mode. Well, go ask your mama. Talk to your mama right there. You back to mama. You follow? We need to always be a part of whatever decision making, decisions are being made, and do it as a unit. If you will do it as a unit, you will cut out the manipulation of the child. Children are smart. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The Bible says that. So, I mean, they sit there and they think. You'd be amazed at how children can pick out things from the sermon that support what they want. My baby she's a master at it. You say every need is met, Daddy. And you say nothing but the best. You say you have all favor so that all grace abounds towards you, so you always have. a master at it. A master at it. You follow me? Even though I'm telling you, so we got to understand that there is a manipulating mentality there, that your child, especially when they grow older, well, not even when they grow older, because they're exposed at a much earlier age than we were to a lot of information. You got it? So we got to understand, if husband and wives are in agreement, you can short circuit that manipulative effort on that child try to put forth. At whatever state they try. Somebody say, I like that one. All right, number two, second key is the key of faith. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever born of God is overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Our faith. Now, it is important that you develop your faith to parent your child. Faith is what ushers in the will of God in the inner situation. The whole word of God concerning parenting will only work for you if you know how to release your faith for it. You got it? So I cannot, when it comes to parenting, throw away the spiritual tools that God has given me to overcome any challenge in life. Now, when you go through the Bible, you see amazing situations where the faith of the parent brought the victory. Jairus, his daughter was dead, and Jesus talked to him. And when the man came up to Jairus and told Jairus, the story was, Jairus come to Jesus and said, hey, you got to come talk to my daughter. My daughter's at the point of death. You got to come see her and got to come minister to her. On the way, the woman with the issue of blood stopped Jesus, interrupted Jesus, touched him, is gone, got healed, had a little shouting meeting and testimony meeting. And then after the testimony meeting, the man walked up and told Jairus, hey, Jairus, don't need to bother the master no more. Your daughter's dead. Now, that's serious, understand? Jesus turned to Jairus and says, only believe. His faith was the fact. Went on to Jairus' house, healed the daughter, raised her from the dead. But the man's faith, he kept faith on the situation. Got it? Syrophoenician woman. The Bible talks about her. She came to Jesus because her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. Hopeless situation. Got it? And Jesus said, hey, I didn't come to minister to y'all. I come to the Jews. And it's not me to give the dogs the crumbs, or what's fit for the Jews, for the masters. And then she said, the dogs even eat the crumbs off the table. She was persistent. So I got to have something from you, Jesus. Her faith was persistent on her child. And then it was because of her faith that her child got healed. Same thing with the man who came to Jesus and his son was demon possessed. He said, Jesus, if you can do anything to help us, please help us. Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So I'm talking about the value of your faith in raising your child. And that faith comes by
hearing.
And that faith is released by the
word.
So death and life is in the power of your tongue. So you got to watch the words that you speak over your children. You cannot say you just like your old no good uncle. Because that which you have been given authority over, you have faith to influence. Amen. And it's, you are a believer and you understand faith. You cannot throw your faith away when it comes to challenging times. You got to open your mouth and speak what God's word says. Amen. Look, person, I said, he really preaching good. All right. Third key. Third key is the key of a spirit-filled life. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, I'm finna work on this one for the last few moments. Because then we'll get to the other two keys on tomorrow. But here's the key about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you are a spirit-filled believer. If you're not spirit-filled, you need to be. Acts 1:8. Go there quickly. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit because it's powerful. Amen. You don't try to raise your child without the power of God. Amen. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now watch this. Turn to Romans 8. Because when I get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the people got filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The wisdom I need and the intercession I need to put forth for my child, I do that in the Spirit. You ought to spend some time praying in the Holy Spirit for your children. Some of you may not have physical children, but you have spiritual children. You ought to spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. I would ask you, but some of y'all raise your hand in this compound. You don't do it, you just be lying. I don't want you to do that. You got it? But purpose now, that you're going to spend some time praying in the children. Why do I need to do that? I pray in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. Romans 8, and then we'll end tonight's session. Because it's important. We're going to spend some time just praying for our children. Praying in the Spirit for them. All right? Then verse 28 says, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Didn't it say we didn't know how? But it says we know not sometimes. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. It says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Or as one translation says, with words that cannot be articulated. Verse 27 says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is so awesome. Because it says, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God for that child's life. The perfect will of God for that child's life. And nothing can substitute you praying for your child. There's no substitute. Listen to me. We send our children out into a type of society you and I never had to face. But we can send them out with confidence, knowing that they are protected by the power of God when we spend time praying for them in the Holy Ghost. You got it? Now, your prayer language may not sound like much, but that's all right. God understands every word. The Bible says, when I pray in the Spirit, it says, my understanding is unfruitful. You got it? But God understands every word. So I got to understand that God said for me to do this. So you pray in the Holy Spirit over your children, and you declare God's perfect will. I do this for my children. I declare God's perfect will being done in their lives. You got it? And then I pray over the Holy Spirit. I call their name and then start praying in the Spirit. Say, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't have to know. I got faith in the Word that that was intercession for my child according to the perfect will of God. Amen. You can do what you want to. You can do what you want to. I'm just telling you what I do, you understand? I'm going to pray for my child. I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray at the highest order of prayer, which is praying in the Spirit. I'm going to do that. You follow me? And I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I want my children to be godly children. I want this church to have a church, to be a church where children come up with a God consciousness and will cause them to win in life. Amen. Now, pretty soon we're going to see the Olympics on television. You follow me? And you're going to see several things. I like track and field, and I like how they do certain things in track and field. You follow me? Because during the, what they call the heats, you know, when they are trying to narrow the field down to the final contestants. You follow me? The qualifying heats, yeah. We're going to see those. And the real star, you have to watch him during the qualifying heats. You understand? Because he ain't going to spend all his energy. got it. And so, you know, you see, especially on the long distance races, you follow me? I mean, the other guys get down there and then they take off running. Well, I mean, they really take off running, you understand? And, you know, the guy who's, you know, the champ, you know, and everybody knows, you know, he's the guy. He just kind of just keeps up with the pack. Maybe let him get out a little ahead. But an announcer goes, wow, this guy's ahead. He's right on the first curve. They're talking about the guys out front. But I'm telling you, there comes a time when that champ know it's time to make the kick. And he just make the kick and just run off and leave them all. You understand? Look, and from that time on, the rest of the fellows who had run off in the beginning, they don't get no air time. I mean, the one who wins the race, they're the one that the news media follow down and interview him. They never go and interview the guy that took off and ran the first mile, you know, lap around there and be there. They're never going to find us. Did you really think you were going to win? They don't even look for him. Now, what am I trying to say here? Our children have to understand that they are long-distance runners. You got it? We've got to build in them a champion mentality. And they got to understand, yes, the unrighteous for a season may look like they're outrunning them. And yes, for a season, the unrighteous may look like they got things better. But we're in it for the long haul. And when it's time to cross the finish line, the Bible says it's the righteous that will prevail. Amen. I got to stop because I'm out of time. Get blessed tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Three invitations.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.